Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Monday webinar. Over the next few months, we are going to try a few Mondays, a few Fridays. We're going to try and spice up the different times when webinars are going to be available. Well, in today's webinar, we are going to be spending a bit of time again with the block editor. This is kind of an extension of the prior webinar where we talked about how we could use we were comparing Metabox pods and advanced custom fields, the three plugins. And we ended up seeing what they can do and what they can't do, especially when it comes to the block editor of WordPress. So I'm going to basically break this up into three sections. The first one's going to be pretty quick and maybe disheartening to some of you. We're going to look at some code. And then we're going to split the other two sections of today's webinar by looking at the Block Lab plugin and the Lazy Blocks plugin. Two things that can help anybody, I believe anybody, build custom solutions for either your sites that are using the block editor or clients or whatever you're wanting to do with it. So let's get started, because how many of you have heard the phrase that in order to build something with Gutenberg, the block editor, you've got to learn JavaScript? Like, if you want to customize something and you come here and you're like, all right, we need to create a special block that the clients can put their boilerplate in, or maybe you can put the photo of the agent who is listing the house. So you're kind of coming in here and it's like, okay, we need to create a block that users can use. Well, if you want to do anything like this, one way to do it is through code. So I wanted to just take, Paul, yes, we just ignored it. I wanted to take just a moment to basically show you as quick as I can what you'd have to do. And the reason I'm going to show this to you is I think it will make you feel better to use one of these plugins. Like, you won't stress you out as much. So to get started, anything you do with Gutenberg or the block editor, remember, because WordPress is PHP-based, we have to use a PHP hook to add all the stuff so that the block editor knows what to do. We don't do this just straight in JavaScript. We have to first use what we traditionally understood to be a hook by doing add action, and we're going to enqueue the block editor assets. So that is actually a hook that exists in WordPress where all the different blocks are stored, are sent to, are integrated into, are called from this hook location. So let's create create a block. And I'm just going to load it later so that everything is there. So remember, this is PHP, so anytime we add something to an action, we're just going to define it, and we're going to deal with this. So first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that this hook or all this stuff is only being added to the admin. We don't need it to be added to other locations. So what we're going to do is if is admin, we're going to return. So this way, if we're not in the admin, we're not going to run anything else. Now, don't worry, because the JavaScript that gets loaded is going to load all this block so that it can be used and visualized on the front end. Now, I'm going to quick run this through. We're going to create two variables. We'll call this one our CSS directory equals get style sheet, directory URI. So all this is going to do is, again, remember, get style sheet directory URI is the direct location of the theme folder, so that we can be able to put our own CSS if we want to for a block inside our own theme. We can manage it from within our own theme. And I'm also going to create a variable that says, go get me the style sheet, directory, URI for JavaScript. So this would mean in our folders, let's take a look at this. What it would actually be is we would have a folder, and again, I'll explain this in just a moment, called CSS. Again, so pedagogy is a child theme of the Voce theme, and so therefore, get stylesheet directory, we're going to have a folder called CSS. See, that's get the directory, and we're going to have a folder called JavaScript. That's all it's doing. It's setting up two variables, and then because this is an enqueue thing, an enqueue hook for WordPress, we're going to now go ahead and write the enqueue script and the enqueue style. So we do WP enqueue script, and we'll call it our create block. And now, because we already have a variable here, we don't have to type out all this stuff, JS directory, and I'll explain why it's a good thing to do this. We're going to do create block.js, and then we have an array of things, blocks, WP, DOM. If you use these brackets, you don't have to type in array thing. This is an understood way. With PHP 7, we don't have to type out array. So then null and true, so place it at the bottom. Everything's the same as if we were enqueuing regular JavaScript in a style sheet, or sorry, in a theme or CSS. Enqueue style. Create block, CSS directory, create block.css. And then we will also call the WP edit blocks there. Okay, so a quick little conversation about why I did this, why we added a variable. Let's say I wanted to build by hand 48 different blocks. Well, I could enqueue them all here, and then I wouldn't have to repeat myself for the style sheet or the location directory because I've already set a variable, I'm using the variable, and it just makes it life easier. If you know you're going to reproduce something over and over and over again, like get style sheet directory URI, see it, why don't you just set it as a variable and then you can just call that variable every single time you need it. So that's just a trick, has nothing to do with the block editor. It's a way to optimize some of your code so you can go back in and see, can I write it as a PHP variable to save time and energy on this? Okay, we've done all this. So now our block is ready to go. At which point, this is where life goes to the dark place. Because in the JavaScript file, we're going to create that JavaScript thing. See this create block JavaScript. So I'm going to go to the JavaScript folder, create a file. It's going to be a JavaScript file. And we're going to name it create block. We're naming it exactly what appeared there. At which point, just to save time and effort, I'm going to quick copy and paste from the handout so you can do this yourself. I need to fix certain things. Basically, we don't want any of these. Looks like I have some spaces that need to be spaces, not bear with me. I'm getting rid of all the spaces there and actually putting real spaces, not non-breaking spaces. Okay. So just a quick thing that it's doing, it's setting up the block editor. Then, once it's done that, we're registering the block. And it kind of looks a little bit like PHP where we are registering a short code or adding an action where we then go through and say, here's the title. Here's the icon, the dash icon that we might be using. Which category, because remember Gutenberg, or sorry, the block editor has common, embed, layout. There's different categories that exist. And then we have what happens when you edit the block, what happens when you save the block. These go to the functions. All right, see, simple text edit, this loads props, loads in all, again, props, loads in all of the elements of the block editor. And now basically we're returning a rich text editor, blah, blah, blah. Here's what happens when we save it. We are having a tag paragraph wrapped around the text. That's what's happening. And then on chains, just make sure we're displaying the new content. So that you got to be able to code all that up. And all that work does this. So now if we refresh on here and we say, all right, we need a new layout. It's in the layout elements. Simple text. And that's all it is. It's creating a text box for us to do something. Now, that seems like a lot of work just to get a text box. And again, I didn't code it all. I even copy-pasted stuff. To me, that seems like a waste of time when there are tools that will help you make things much more robust, have greater flexibility. And that's what we're going to take a look at in this second part. So there are two big plugins that do this. There's Block Lab and Lazy Blocks. They both operate very similar, but Block Lab has concepts that are very similar to how Metabox and Advanced Custom Fields work, kind of as we went through yesterday. Last week. So ignore this stuff. Let's go over here. We're going to actually build our own block. So when you come here and install Block Lab, yes, they do have examples up there. Ben, yes, if you want to sell a block plugin, it's completely going a different way. And we're probably not going to cover that because, just to give you an idea, you're also going to need to learn Webpack. You're going to need to learn React. You're going to need to learn probably Ember or something, like a templating system on that. So these are three different JavaScript libraries that you'll have to learn because you have to have, you also have to learn Node.js because you have to run Node.js on your computer and then you add Webpack and all these other JavaScript libraries so that you can build a source version of the block plugin that you're going to create. And then you have to basically have it build a release plugin and then you can package it. So it will. Here's one of the reasons why. Remember how many shortcode plugins there were out there? There were tons of different shortcode plugins that would create different types of designs, blocks, whatever. There are really only about 5 to 10 block assortment of blocks out there. There's a lot of people within the WordPress world who have no desire to create in Node.js. There are some that love working in Node.js. But what it's done is basically created a separation. So what I'm doing with this webinar is to show you guys tools that you can use to do everything that you would need for clients without having to build a completely different workflow. All right, so let's get back to Block Lab. This is one way to do it. This probably looks fairly similar, the concept of a settings page where we add different fields and we define those fields and then we will output something. The same way when we create a pod, whether it's a custom post type or extending post, we're basically adding a number of fields to a group. Same is true with Metabox. Same is true with advanced custom fields. You create groupings of fields that you will attach to something. And so BlockLab attaches fields to the name of our block. And we will call this one AmazeBobs, because why not? Now we create a bunch of fields. And we add our field. Now the free version of BlockLab gives you quite a few different options. Now, again, on our broadcast, you may not actually be able to see because for whatever reason. Actually, let me try one thing. I'm going to try a different share. I wonder if I can actually share this whole. Okay, now you should still be seeing the whole screen, but can you guys now see the drop-down box? Aha, we solved it. So basically what was happening is I was sharing the actual tab of Chrome, which whenever a pop-up box showed, it exists outside of the visual. So, okay, so now we can see it. So the free version, we can create fields, a text area, URL, email, number, color, image, select, multi-select, toggle, range, checkbox, and a radio button. There is a pro version of BlockLab. I don't know if it's something that you want to invest in simply because other plugins like Metabox, ACF, Pods have solutions that do this that cost way less than BlockLab. But for free, this is a really powerful tool. So let's create our first one. And we will call it name of someone. Okay, we have a field name, so we have to remember that. And we can say, is it going to take up 50% of it? Is there help text? Enter the name. Blah, blah, blah. So we have something like this. We can close that field. You can put character limits, default value, whatever. The pro version does allow you to have required things and goes a little more advanced. Let's add two more things. Let's add an image. And this image, we're going to show, let's say, photo of someone. And let's do a favorite ice cream. We'll do text editor. Okay, so we've got three fields here. Over here, before we hit publish, we have our block properties. It allows us to, here's our slug. We'll use this for several reasons. I'm going to paste that because I need that. We can choose icons. It is using a whole bunch of different options that actually come with the block editor. And we'll just use that icon. You can choose where you want to include it. If we put comment blocks, great. And we can use keywords of ice cream. This is so as more, this keywords are going to be important in the future because as more and more blocks get added or included, it may be easier for us to search typing in a keyword or the name of a block when we want to add it to WordPress. And so having keywords can be helpful. All right, we're going to hit publish. At this point, we are going to see a new screen saying, hey, you did a great job, but in order for us to display it, you need to go to your theme in the blocks folder, and you need to create a block.amazebobs.php. Now you might be thinking, but wait, can't I just easily create something? Well, yes. Let's go to our blocks folder. Again, that's the theme that we're using. It even tells you so you know exactly where to put it. And we need to click to copy, create a file that is this exact name. All right, so in our blocks folder, we're going to create a new PHP file. And again, it's PHP we're going to be using. That was weird. Okay, there we are. Let's rename that because now we have two PHPs in there. Edit, rename. Oh, this is great. Why isn't it? There we are. Okay. Now, this goes back to elementary HTML PHP code classes. Remember, we can put HTML in a PHP file. So therefore, the template that we are using is basically going to be the same type of thing you do for the way Pods creates templates, and you just use magic tags to insert the fields. We do the same thing here, where we start with HTML, div, class, wrapper, stuff. Then we could do, all right, let's get the name. Name. And at this point, we can use a special, not special, but it's basically just a function called block field that has a way to echo out that information. So we do, let me just put the space, PHP block field name of field. We do that. Well, now we need to go find the name of the field. Name of someone. Okay, so we'll replace name of field with name of someone, and now we're going to be able to export that out. Let's also do image source, and I think it's source. We'll have to check. Photo of someone. I can't remember if BlockLab just pushes that out as the source file. Block field photo of someone. And then below that, we will have a paragraph tag of this crazy person loves ice cream. And we will put block field, and again, favorite ice cream. So see what we've just done is we have created a simple HTML option we're using basically the mail merge insert field. Wherever we need one of those, we're going to grab that. All right, so now we've saved this. We can come back over here. A lot of times I like to just hit update again, and you'll see this goes away if it finds that file. If it doesn't find the file, you'll see that box show up and say, you need to put the template here. If you simply see template this, it means it has found that file and everything is valid. All right, so we now have a block that's ready for us to use. So let's go back to our blocks, to our post. So testing a block. And now we can come over here. And again, I think we put it in common blocks. I don't remember where we put it. Anybody remember where we put it? Hold on. Let's go back to Block Lab. Was it layout? Now I have to go check. Oh, I probably could have searched. That would have been a good idea. It's in common blocks. Search for ice cream. All right, it's published, so let's go back to that same post. We'll be able to use it. I think it was this one. Oh, no, that was a different one. All right, let's go to a page. I can't remember which one we started working with. So we'll use standard editor. All right, so this is going to be try again. Common block. Huh, where is it? Ice cream. All right, let's go back here, settings, make sure that it's actually, we don't need pro license. Okay, we'll fix that one. That should not be forcing this not to show up. Let's put it in. We'll put it in formatting. Oh, that's weird. All right, so now we're set. We've updated this. Hopefully it works. Oh, wait, we moved it over to formatting. Oh, all right. Have no fear. I figured it out. I know exactly what it is. We also have a plugin called Editor's Kit that was installed that we were working on this. It has a block manager so that we need to make sure that we haven't not activated something or disabled a block. And it's not there. So I thought, well, maybe I was blocking it. Let's just test this one out. No? I'm going to hit save just on this so we can actually see if we can find an example block. Otherwise, BlockLab may have actually caused an issue. They had a recent update. All right, let's do one other thing. Again, this is part of the reason why the block editor does have issues. So we're going to come over here. There's a block manager. See if there's anything not checked. It's all there. All right, we're going to try one other thing. Because we do have the Gutenberg plugin installed, it may be the future versions of the block editor may be breaking the BlockLab system. So that's also possible. So we're trying to diagnose why this is doing this. All right, so we've got our blocks. I've removed Gutenberg. We're still using the block editor because I haven't deactivated it. Now let's check here and see for formatting. There it is. Oh, no. Yep, there it is. All right, so we have solved the thing that the block lab will break in the next release of Gutenberg. So I better tell them. All right. So now, if you guys ever run into that issue, you can know what to do. So let's put our AmazeBobs in here. So see what we now have? Our AmazeBobs, Bob the Amazing. In which case, I can now grab an image. I think I have, hold on. Well, that was weird. It wants to start up a game. Let's come over here. file. I've tried to open the file editor so I can drag an image. All right, so I'm dragging an image of the WP Studio logo. Look at that. See that? And then we can do cookies and cream. All right, so we've been able to fill this thing out. Let's add a title. This is the title. Notice how we, even with Block Lab, it was able to, it's giving us a rendering of it. I can go in and change it because looks like I had Bob the Amazing with something else. All right, let's publish it. And it's updating. And let's preview the post. There's a reason why we're going to preview the post. All right, so this is the title, name, Bob the Amazing, blah, blah, blah. Well, because everything is controlled here, well, what if we just said, all right, we don't need the image right now. And we need to put this in a block quote. If you go back to your theme, and this is why I actually like Block Lab, you're managing all these different PHP templates. See, I changed it to a block quote. I now can refresh and see, now we got rid of the image, the block quote, and that, again, that's using the theme block quote, and we're set to go. Now, what if I wanted to customize the CSS just for this? If you wanted to customize the CSS just for that information, we can add a blocks. In the blocks folder, add a CSS file and call it the same thing, but we're going to call it block amazebobs.css. See that? And I can now, let's do a wrapper class. It's the wrapper class is going to be just for this block. So if I then come in here and say border 5 pixels solid red, padding 15 pixels, border radius 20 pixels. So if I do this, again, it's added to the blocks folder of your theme. We can now come and refresh. And ba-boom, we can now control the CSS for that specific block. Our template, so this is where we are. Just a quick backup. The way we lay out what is in the block is a PHP file. It's exactly the same as if you were doing a pods template. But instead of a magic tag, we are simply doing a block field. And then using the same name, block-amazebobs, or whatever it says in that block. You could do the CSS. Now, Jesse, great. How did we know we had to write all that code? It just says create a file with the name. Well, that's the documentation of Block Lab. So basically, if you're doing this and you see, and I think if we come over here, no template found. Let's do this. Click on this. No template found. You're going to say learn more about block templates, learn more about template functions. That's where it's going to tell you, basically, just write your HTML. Think of it as the loop. It's the loop for just this element. And so now you have a block that can be used anywhere that the block editor is being used for. So for this concept, that's actually pretty easy for most of us. But again, at the free level, it's not difficult. But if you want to go a step further, that's where you'd use something like Lazy Blocks. Now, Lazy Blocks has a very similar situation where we come over here and the building system is actually using parts of the block editor to create this. So what we're going to do is we're adding controls. Basically, these are simply fields. But before we begin our fields, we're going to call this one our name. And we will call this one Superfly. We're going to see there's a slug called Lazy Block Superfly. We can choose the icon. Boom. All right. These are all dash icons. We're going to put the tickets. Where do we want to put it? We're going to put it in the layout elements. And our keyword is going to be fly super. We have two keywords, our description. We could come over here and say, are we supporting multiple blocks on the same page? Well, what if this is very important that your client can only enter this information once per entry? Well, then we need to turn off multiple. So that's something that sets this apart from Block Lab, the free Block Lab. Because remember, Lazy Blocks is free as well, at least this one that we're looking at. Class names, you can actually add class names to each one, allow for styling. You can turn on the ability for anchor tag, a block ID. So basically, you're going to have wherever you put this, you can have an anchor tag so you can link to it. Jan, multiple users or blocks? These would be multiple blocks on the same page. So my example would be is, let's say you are building a site for a realtor and you have different blocks that might be for features of the house, pricing, school systems, but maybe you have one that's open house hours and you don't want to have multiple open house open house blocks on the same page. So therefore, we simply say, this open house block that we are building, there's only one. Now remember, the blocks editor is for the admin or the person writing the post. The number of users that can either access the stuff or see the stuff isn't really playing into on the creation of the block. We are basically creating the block for anybody who has access to edit within the editor. We can also go through and choose how things are displayed. We can have conditions where we can actually say, all right, you can use this block in the block editor in Gutenberg only on pages, only on a certain custom post type that you might be using. So you do have that type of control. And finally, in the advanced, what about if hide for logged in, hide for logged out, who is using this? And so basically this advanced section is a visibility of the block on the front end. So if you add the block that we're going to build here to a post, without the client knowing it or the end user knowing it, we can auto hide that block to logged in users or logged out users. Perfect thing to do for this is if the client wants to add a subscription widget or a subscription block for somebody to sign up or submit their email using the block that you're going to create, you can auto hide it to logged in users because if they're already logged in, you already have their email address. You don't need to collect it from them. So, again, we can dive into that, and we're going to do a little bit of that with a future Form Studio plugin as a way to show some advanced conditional logic. All right, so once you go through all these little side things, block controls, let's go ahead and build our fields. So even though this says add control, we are building our fields. So our first control is a text field. See how that is the type of text? Basically, this is a interactive table that we're building. So let's create our label, and we'll do the same type of thing. We'll do name of employee. All right, so now we have a name of employee. We can choose text area, number, range, URL, similar things to this. But we can also go in here, image, gallery, file, upload. So there's a few other things beyond Block Labs. And we can also repeat. So if you're creating a section of elements, so like if you want somebody to be able to create four images in a gallery, and each one of those images has a description and a link, we can create a repeater of the same type of control. All right. We can choose whether or not this is required, default values, all the other things about what we're going to be doing. I'm not going to get into too much detail on this. You guys can play around with it. Let's come over here and we will do job title. All right, so we got a job title. I'm going to keep this very simple. This is what we're going to do. We've got two elements in our block. This is where we come down here and say, all right, let's go ahead and use our handlebars. When we use our handlebars to create, handlebars is a markup language of customizing how the block will look. And it's actually very easy. Because remember, here is our name of employees, job title. These handlebars operates their values the same way we would do it with Pod's magic tags or Block Labs block field, the PHP function. So we're going to start off by doing a little div. Again, it's the front end HTML, div class equals muffin man. And we're going to have an H2 title where we have employee. And then we do double braces, name of employee, double braces. Perfect. And then we'll just do a paragraph and an italics for their job title. Job title. Now, what most of us are going to do is we're going to go ahead and just copy this, put it over in the editor HTML so that when in the block editor and the front end, it's going to look and feel exactly the same. You might also want, if you want the editor HTML, you could do something like, please P strong style color equals red. Please verify spelling of name. So that on the editor, it will show this. On the front end, it's not going to have that. Okay, so let's go ahead and publish this. Notice how we've done everything in lazy blocks on a single entry. Now I can come over here to the listing of... Okay, it is published. All right, come over here. Here's our listing. There's our Superfly in the layout elements. Now let's see this in action. I'll just go ahead and open a new tab so we can jump back there if we need to. Notice how we did not have to go to the theme template file. All right, so this is a Superfly fly post. Come over here, go to our... We put it in the layout elements, right? Yeah, Superfly. Name of employee, Bob Bobertson. Crusher of all dreams. Okay, so here we have, again, this is the back end. Notice how we have a conversation with the user before they leave. Now, if I go away from this, again, you're still going to see this. If I publish the post, now let's go take a look at the front end of the site, view the post, and we have employee Bob Bobertson, crusher of all dreams. And again, remember, it's just the block. It is still a post. It's still getting the theme post stuff. But so now you can see that using Block Lab and lazy blocks are two different things. Yes, keywords are for only back end searching. They do not even show up on the front end. So remember how I did, oh, did it not save? We'll do super muffins. Let me update this and we'll refresh this page. And you're going to see if I come over here and let's go to the page source and we did a search for super muffins. It's not there. But if we go to our post, edit the post, we come over here and say, oh, I need another block, super muffins. See how it's already showing up as something we could use. So yeah, those keywords are solely for searching within the block editor. Has no correlation to what's happening. So if we were to kind of step back and compare the two, Block Lab is a cleaner looking solution that has a pro setting, which kind of is a little expensive, but it does have some nice options of going in and you can manage everything from the template, from your theme. You can manage everything with regular CSS files and regular PHP files, which are basically templates. Lazy Blocks will basically give you everything on one page to manage it. It means there's a lot more clicking around and moving, but it's also a simple management place. Now you can choose different types of straight PHP or HTML and handlebars, and there's other ways to use that. You can click on this. Now, there's also something that Lazy Blocks provides that Block Lab doesn't at this time. If you go to Tools, there is a full export. This exports all your blocks that you have built. You can put that in your functions.php file or whatever. You also put this in the functions.php file. So it means that once you've done this, you can export out the stuff. But here's the catch. Sure, you can export it and do all these other things. I can then go delete these. And the export can exist in my theme. But you still have to have the Lazy Blocks plugin installed in order for it to know how to render the code that it exports out. So it is a nice step forward where if you want to build something unique for a client, but you're afraid that, well, what if they do get in the admin and they are playing around with creating blocks or editing the blocks? You can export it out. They can play around by creating their own new blocks if they ever got around to that. But you don't have to worry about them deleting one of your blocks you've already built because it's now in the code. And again, as the handout also points, you could do the same thing that we've done today with Metabox. So the really cool thing about all of this, especially with pods, with advanced custom fields, Metabox, Lazy Blocks, and Block Lab, they all have solutions. You just got to figure out which one works for you. So I'd encourage you to play around, maybe reproduce the stuff that we were just doing in this webinar. Try out Lazy Blocks, try out Block Lab, see if one of them works for you. Now, if you're not using the block editor yet, it's not as important for you to go down this road, and you can stay with things like pods and Metabox, which will create things within the classic editor, doing similar types of things, basically short code creators. So I hope this has been fun looking at options. And the one thing I want you to take away from this, and I think it has been a fearful thing for some of you, Because I know a few of you have talked to me about this. Should you, or if you're going to stay with WordPress, do you have to learn JavaScript to be relevant or to be future-proofed? I think today's webinar just proved to you you'll still be able to do the work years down the line without having to learn the JavaScript flavor of the month. Because I'm going to tell you, React and others, there's going to be new JavaScript things that come along. There's going to be new languages that come along. And people are going to chase that. But for those of us who have learned the basics of PHP, CSS, HTML, you'll still be able to build some advanced solutions for your clients. And therefore, WordPress is still future-proofed for those of us who don't have the time to learn JavaScript. So I hope that this webinar, even though this might not be exactly what you were looking for, is an encouragement to all of you that you all still have a place building WordPress sites for clients. So take care. I hope you have a great rest of the Monday. Don't forget, if you haven't read Monday's email, we've got a whole bunch of webinars. We got a webinar on Wednesday. We've got a webinar on Thursday. And we got a few other things happening. So hope to see you on Slack. Hope to see you on future webinars. And I hope you have a great rest of the day. Take care, everybody.